is a huge demand signal out there for mobile capability. People recognize the innovation and creativity that would enhance their mission, their efficiency, and their ability to collaborate. And like we normally would look at traditionally providing a solution where we'd have a custom-built, very long lead time, very expensive device that by the time we got it out was no longer meeting our customer needs because technology moved on, we're really looking at how can we embrace the use of commercial consumer devices, secure them in such a way where we're looking at the data as opposed to the device, and be able to provide those solutions quickly at the same time maintaining the level of security that we require for connecting to national security systems.
Is that more difficult, do you think, at an agency like the National Security Agency than it is at, say, the Department of fill in the blank, where so much more of the data that a person, that an end user might be handling on a mobile device is of that nature of secure data?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a bigger challenge, and not just from a technology point of view. And there's a lot of technology out there that we can embrace and use, and we have a strategy on how we can protect the data. But at the same time, we also have cultural issues. For over 20 years now, we've taught ourselves that using these kind of devices is a bad thing. And it's amazing when you actually try to get users who for the last, again, 20 years have been told that they can't use that, that there are problems with that, to try to get them to embrace the technology now is hard. But at the same time, we have a very young workforce that's coming in. They've lived their entire lives being able to use this technology in their consumer lives, and they really don't understand why they can't use it when they start working for the National Security Agency.
You shocked me, Troy, I must say. Back in November, you told FedTech Magazine that you at NSA currently have thousands of mobile devices and you'd like to greatly expand that number. And I think that my shock came from the kind of cultural mentality that you just talked about, which is my thought would have been that you wanted to squash this bug as quickly as possible and stay on those proprietary devices in a proprietary network.
The problem with that approach and that strategy is that the demand signal, again, is so incredibly high. People will do things in order to meet their mission. And if mobility is able to help them execute their mission better, they're going to go ahead and do it with or without us. It's really a recognition that we have to get in front of that, because what we do know is that in absence of another solution, people will fall back using their personally owned devices in ways that we'd rather them not use those devices. So really recognizing this is going to happen with or without us. And if we want to remain relevant, we've really got to figure out how and move away from that culture of all saying no.
Your colleague Margaret Salter was out at RSA this year and talking about the fishbowl phones that you're deploying at NSA. What can you tell me about those?
Sure thing. So we have a whole strategy built on using commercial devices and commercial algorithms, and there was a lot of questions about how well was this strategy going to work in the real world. So we developed what we call the Fishbowl as a pilot program to essentially prove out the technology. So it is a program. We have about 100 phones that we're using right now. These phones aren't anything particularly special other than the fact that they had some security features built in that we liked, but these were commercial features. They were nothing special about the government. And we are piloting that capability at a top secret voice capability currently. And we'll be extending that capability towards the end of the month to include data service as well, so think chat and email.
So the goal of this pilot is to see if you can use regular old consumer phones, lock down with the security features that you need them to have, and let people use them the way they would use their own phone, which they carry in their other pocket.
That's exactly right. So there were a lot of technological pieces that we needed to prove out that we're doing right now, with the end state being that we will use this pilot to inform basically defining an architecture that other people will be able to implement within their own enterprise. So essentially it's really talking about proving out the technology, being able to document that, and then provide that documentation so that others can mirror that within their own enterprise.
Now, what does this phone look like? Is it an Android phone? Is it an iPhone? What can I think of when I'm trying to think of what this looks like in the hand of somebody using it?
Certainly. So it looks like a commercial Android phone. It did start with Android, but there was nothing particularly special about the operating system at this point. Really, when we get to our end state, we'd like to be device agnostic, defining what the criteria is for any device, and any device that meets that criteria would be able to be connected essentially to this infrastructure. But for the pilot itself, we did start with an Android device, which is a consumer phone that anybody could have bought at a Radio Shack or a Best Buy.
Now, you've done something that NSA is not known for doing. You've taken all of the specifications and requirements, and you've published them on the Internet. What are you going for there?
Really what we're doing as part of publishing that documentation is looking feedback from industry. This is based on a strategy of moving forward, and we want to make sure that the strategy is not going to be something that's going to be end of life because we chose a protocol or something that is not going to be future proof. At the same time, the intent is when we finish the pilot, we'll be putting a new rev of that documentation out, and that would be the way that people will be able to implement this in their own enterprise to meet their own mobile users' needs.
So somebody can look at that, a vendor could look at that and say, here's my potential solution for what NSA is trying to accomplish. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Now, the whole concept of this, I think, is fascinating because of, back to the cultural element of this. What other kinds of cultural changes is this approach driving inside NSA? What are you trying to get people to do that's maybe difficult for them to do when it comes to using this technology? And I'm talking about the end users, not necessarily your folks in the IT deployment part.
Right. The other big piece of this program is really looking at risk differently than we've looked at in the past. And part of that understanding is that if you're completely 100% risk adverse, you are accepting an additional risk in that you're not as capable in executing your mission as you might otherwise be. And what we're really trying to do as part of this program is say, you know, there might be trade-offs that you're willing to make where you might accept risk in one area, but that risk is offset by, again, that capability or the ability to collaborate or the flexibility or really what you need to do to execute your mission more efficiently.
So risk is not an either or, one side or the other. It's more like walking along a railroad rail and trying not to fall off.
Yeah, I think that's a very good analogy.